move for us. We only moved just down the road, but it was something that God really moved us to do. We came here, and then God called me into the ministry, so I became sent by the church here to go and train as a minister, and then came back here, and then was planted out at Fairfield as the minister of Fairfield, the new church plant. And then in 2018, I retired, took early retirement. I was not 65, I was only 59. But again, I felt that was the thing that I should do. And now I paint. I'm an artist and I paint prophetically. So I paint what God, I feel God's telling me to paint and share what it's about. My aim is that 60% of that is given away, 40% is sold, and people pay for that, and that pays for me to carry on with the art ministry. So that's a little bit about me. I'm married to Helen. The lovely Helen is over here. And we have three children, and they are all going on with God. Praise God for that. Those of you know Laura and Malcolm, they're in Indonesia at the moment with Malcolm's family. All his family are Christians. And his mum and dad are missionaries. None of this is on my thing, so we haven't started yet. So heaven knows what time we'll finish. But anyway, they're out in Indonesia because his father-in-law, our daughter's father-in-law, is a missionary working out there for 40-odd years translating the Word of God into a local language. And they've just translated it and finished the translation of the New Testament. So they're celebrating, and their whole family has gone out. That's our daughter and son-in-law and two grandchildren, and then his three sisters and their families, and they've all gone out to celebrate. So that's been an amazing trip. It's six airplanes and one boat to get there, and then the same reverse. So it's been quite an interesting journey. Anyway, enough of that. I wanted to preach on the fruit of the Spirit. So I don't know if someone was going to read that or not, but who's got it to read?
Laura,
would you like to come and read it? While Laura's just coming out, I was interested because I sat there as we were preparing for worship, and Helen said, "Have you seen the fruit of the Spirit around the room?" They're all around the room. Kindness, goodness, gentleness. They're all around the room. And I'd forgotten that. So there you go. Laura.
I like Matt, that's a long time now. Galatians 5:22-26. I've taken it from the New Living Translation. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit for our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
Thank you, Laura. Lovely. And as I say, if you forget what they are, they're around the room, so you've got visual aid. Well, as I prepared for this morning, I was recalling some of the many life-enhancing moments that Helen and I have experienced while we were here in this place. And it's also true of our family. So the first time we came in 2004, Tim and Mandy were here. If you remember, some of you will remember Tim and Mandy. And Tim greeted us at the door and totally ignored us. And he went straight to greet the children, which was an absolute blessing to us, because it had been a real struggle to get them to come to church with us. And there's a whole story behind that, but I won't go into that at the moment. But Tim greeted the children and he made them feel so welcome, so happy, that they spent their whole morning singing the praises of the church. What a kindness, what joy we had. Having decided that God was calling me for ministry, little gifts of money started appearing and being given to us. Often they were anonymous, and they were given to help keep us afloat. I'd been a head teacher, and my salary dropped by 60%. So trying to manage was quite tricky, but God always knows what he's doing. So these little gifts of money kept us afloat, and they always gave us such joy when they arrived. When Becky, our eldest, decided that she was going on a discipleship training and worship course in America, Gordon, who is at the back, helped organise and run a fundraising auction night. And I don't know if you remember that, Gordon. And so many people that we knew who from the church came and demonstrated their kindness by buying things that they didn't need for far more than they were worth. I seem to remember the best one was the Malteser cake, little pieces of Malteser cake that sold for £15. You know, wonderful. But it was worth it, and Becky is still going on with God and still serving the Lord. The love Johnny, our youngest, found with his friends Joel, Adrian's son, David, Nathan, Daniel and Carl, among others, led him to a secure faith of his own, which he's living out with his lovely wife Alex and their baby boy Theo, who's now 6 or 7 weeks old. I've lost track, Helen. 6. And what's important is all that began here. Amen. Now, that's peace, joy, kindness, and love. Now, there's so many other stories that I could tell of the things that have begun with people from here and have been such a blessing. Indeed, the psalmist writes, "Let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget the good things he does for me." And if all good gifts come from God above, then all these things that have been happened through you and through others who have long since moved on come from him. Something special when the Spirit of God impacts our lives and causes us to respond. So perhaps the first thought this morning, before we begin to delve into this passage, should be to recall something that has been a blessing of God in your life from people here, either now or in the past. So I want you to do that. I want you just to take a moment and think, what is it? Why are you here? Because if there wasn't a blessing, you wouldn't be here. What has happened in the past that's been such a blessing to you that you've kept coming? Because life isn't straightforward, is it? There's ups and downs, ins and outs. Sometimes we get annoyed, sometimes we get frustrated, and yet we're still here. God has done some amazing things here. There is story upon story that I could tell you, and loads of you know Gordon, he'll tell you loads of stories about what God does. There's amazing things that God's done through this place and through people here. Forget not one of his benefits, the psalmist says. Remember. Remember. Why do we need to remember? It's not for God's sake, is it? It's for ours. It protects our heart. When we start remembering all the goodness and the loving things that God's done in our lives, through other people, through a place that we are part of, it protects our heart from the things that come and try to detract us. So just spend a moment. I want you to do this for me, if you would. Have a moment in your own mind palace, as Sherlock Holmes might say, in your own mind. Have a moment thinking, what has been a real blessing to you? Who has been a real blessing to you? Just have a little thought, and I'll come back to my sermon in about a minute's time. I hope you've been able to recall something that was a blessing. And if you haven't, then do sit this afternoon and ask God to remind you of what he's done in your life and who he's done it through and how it happened. I was just, as in my head as I was recalling just then, I was thinking of a moment where I was watching Jonathan up on the stage. He was leading worship. It was one of the first times he'd led worship. And I was watching him, and I was a proud dad. You know, when you're proud of something, you think, that's my little boy. You know, I watched him be born. And I was just stood in this, he was practicing before the service had begun. He doesn't like the word practice, by the way, because he says you can't practice worship. You either worship or you don't. So I stood in the middle of this entrance area, just watching and feeling all these emotions run through me. And Adrian was where he is now. And Adrian's son Joel was up playing guitar as well. And he said, they're our boys. They're our boys. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching in Master Mortain on the parable of the house built on the rock and the house built on the sand. So I want to just begin, as we start to delve into the passage, with that parable, which seems a bit odd because it comes right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is a huge, long sermon, as we all, or most of us, I'm sure, will know. It's 2.5 chapters long in Matthew's Gospel. And it's very practical teaching about how you should live your life. So if you want to know much about how we should be as Christians, read the Sermon on the Mount. But what's really interesting, I didn't realise this until I started researching for this preach 2 weeks ago, that at the end, Jesus tells this parable of the house built on the rock and built on the sand. But before he starts that parable, he says this. Therefore, so he's told all this stuff, and if you ever read therefore, you have to ask the question, what's it there for? It's referring to the Sermon on the Mount, how we practically live. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and goes out and has a nice Sunday lunch, you. Everyone who hears these words of mine and writes them down all neatly in their notebook, no. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Let's determine today that we'll hear the word of God and put them into practice. Because if we're not, we're like the foolish man who builds on sand. It's quite a hard word, isn't it? From Jesus. Anyway, let's move on. There's so much I could say from the book of Galatians, and particularly from this passage, the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to be quite specific, and I'm just going to mention three things. It's all about him. It's the importance of the Spirit. And the fruit is him in me. You got that? It's all about him. The importance of the Spirit. And the fruit is him in me. Now we're going to do a quite slow trip through Galatians. Now, if you don't know the book of Galatians, it's a nice read. You can do it in about 15, 20 minutes. It won't take you that long. But it is absolutely cram-bang full of stuff because it's got a lot of Paul's teaching in it. And Paul is quite hard to read. So you will have to think about it. But we're going to look at scripture. So most of what I'm going to say is going to be direct scripture, and they'll appear up on the screen. So you won't be trying to keep up in your Bible. They'll be up on the screen. In the book of Galatians, Paul is writing to a church that has emerged from people who were descended from Gauls. Now, whereabouts was it? It wasn't in France. It wasn't in the UK. These Gauls had gone over to fight for the Romans in Turkey. So this church that we called the Galatians was mainly people who were Gauls or descendants of Gauls. And they were under pressure from the Jews of the local area that wanted them to fulfill Jewish law and then become Christians. So they wanted them to be good Jews who converted to Christianity. So they were Gauls, Gentiles, become a Jew, become a Christian. Now, Paul's emphasis is that the good news of the gospel is all about the work of Jesus on the cross and the response to him. He even rejects Peter's adherence to Jewish tradition in terms of circumcision. So Paul writes this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And he continues by asking this, "I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? In other words, is our faith reliant on what we do or solely on the work of Jesus on the cross poured out for us by the Spirit?" It's a really important question, because if you can earn your way to heaven by what you do, we miss the whole point of the gospel. You can't, incidentally. So if you're wondering whether that's an open question, it's not. It's a closed question. You can't earn your way to heaven. It's what Jesus does as a free gift. Paul doesn't leave the confusion there. He writes, in Galatians 3:26-29, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you were baptized into Christ and have been clothed with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Everything is about Jesus. It's all about him. That's the picture. Think about it, how he's described it. Paul says, you've clothed yourself. You've robed yourself with Christ. So when I look, if it was Liz, she's clothed herself with Christ. If I look at her, I see Christ. If I look at you, Vicky, you've clothed yourself with Christ. You've chosen Christ. If I look at her, I see Christ. It's all about him. It's what he's done in each one of us. The second point was the importance of the Spirit. Paul continues to explain, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. That's amazing. We're amazing heir of grace. God's given us grace through faith. And then in 5, verses 5 and 6, it says, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Thanks, Vicky. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Probably the most important verse in this book. In other words, works don't matter. They're not going to get you into heaven. It's the Spirit of God at work through us, expressed in loving action, that is a sign of our faith. God is love, and so his actions through us, by the Spirit, will be those of love. Did you get that? God in us is love, because God is love. So actions that come from God are going to be loving actions. Now, the fruit, him in me, him in you. This then brings out the passage about the fruit of the Spirit. So this is where we began. Love is expressed in us through joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, etc. All these things around the room. The fruit, and it is a singular in the Greek, it says the fruit, and it means one. All these are aspects of the same fruit, and it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you can't say, oh, well, I'm very good at being gentle, but I'm rubbish at being patient. I didn't get that. I wasn't in the queue for patience because it took me so long to go through the queue of gentleness. By the time I got there, he'd finished serving out the patience. So I didn't get any patience. That's rubbish, I'm sorry. You can't use that as an excuse. The fruit, all of these, are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we should expect all of them to be being developed in us by the Holy Spirit. Now the truth is that some of us have a head start in some areas. So you might already be really good at being kind. You know, people have told you over the years, he's such a kind guy. He does, done this, done that. He's so, so kind. But at home, you might be the most angry guy that there is. And you do need to learn about being patient. But the question is, are we open to that? Will we respond to the Holy Spirit as he develops this fruit within us? And you can do yourself a little health check. Write down the 9 fruit of the Spirit that are listed. It's not an exhaustive list, but it is a good list. Write them down and be honest with yourself. Nobody else is going to see it. You can do it for yourself. How good am I at being good? How does goodness operate in me? Where are you trying to speak to me about it? If I was going to grade myself out of 10, what would I grade myself on? Where is it that God might be saying, you know, we just need to work on that little bit, Gordon? Yeah. Well, I was being gentle, Gordon.
I'm not being very gentle.
But what is God trying to work on and allowing him to do it is the key. So just before Paul gives us these familiar words about the fruit of the Spirit, he gives a very serious warning. Listen to these verses. I bet we haven't read these for a while. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. It's not really a popular verse to read, is it? But very important. You see, Scripture is telling us that all the promises of God are summed up in the command to love God and one another. And it's not just a good idea, it's a God idea. Too many times in my life I've got caught up in trying to ascribe a motivation or a reason for somebody doing something. While all the time, if I'm honest, Christ was trying to point into my own life and sort out my own attitudes. We know that because in Matthew 7 it says, get the log out of your own eye before you try and sort somebody else's. If you don't believe me, read Matthew 7, Matthew 7, 1 to 5. If I allowed the Spirit of Christ to work in and through me, more often, how different would things be? Listen to these words describing what love in practice looks like. You'll know these words. But remember, God is love. And his aim is to develop love in us and through us. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. And it doesn't boast. And it's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. If we seek to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, to focus on the love of Christ in and through us, we'll find a better way to live. And we'll be God's power for good where we are here. No more pie in the sky. Remember, Paul wrote from Rome when he was under house arrest this letter. And this is what he wrote. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. So my conclusion is this, it is all about him. Everything we've looked at throughout the book of Galatians, we've done a very quick tour of the book of Galatians. It's all about him. Him in and through us. So let's thank him and praise him every opportunity you get. Let's be those people who remember and don't forget what he's done. The Spirit is so important. The work of the Spirit is what's changing us, what's developing all these things within us. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. And do you know how he does it? He'll put you into places where you need it. So he doesn't just give you a dollop of gentleness. He'll put you in a situation where you need to be gentle so you can learn of him. Doesn't just develop patience. He puts you in a place where you have to learn patience. We don't like it. But we can learn. And the Holy Spirit at work in us is so important. And the real question, of course, is, will we welcome him? You see, it's all not very nice me talking about love and this is what God's intent is. But we can walk away and just go on in our own sweet way and be bitter, twisted people in different areas. I mean, I'm not saying you're bitter and twisted, but in certain areas, some of our thinking is very twisted. So we've got things the wrong way around. Or that's true of all of us, by the way. God's untwisting it, bit by bit. Praise him that he's so gentle with us. He doesn't just dollop everything on us and say, well, we'll sort this and we'll do that and we'll get rid of this and I'll lock that bit off and we'll do this and we'll put you in. He's very specific and he changes us bit by bit from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. But the question, of course, is all the time, will we welcome him or not? And then finally, the fruit, him in me. As we welcome him, will we respond welcomingly? That's not a word. Will we respond to him in a way that welcomes what he's doing? So if he's put you in a penny pinch sort of situation where things seem to be pinching you on either side, are you going to pop out with a whole load of anger? Are you going to be a frustrated person that does a lot of damage to those that are around you? Or are you going to be able to sit and say, why is this happening, Father? I want to learn because I don't find this a comfortable place to be. Holy Spirit, will you teach me? I remember my mother being in the last few days of her life, last few months of her life. She was in a care home just down the road. And I went to visit her one day. I used to go every day to see her. And went one day to see her. And she was very upset. Not about anything in particular. She was always upset. It was just she was frustrated. She couldn't pick up a tissue. She'd lost all the strength in her hand and in her body. She had a little tray in front of her, which was her world. And things had to be within a millimetre of where she wanted it. So she'd have a pile of tissues in one place, which she would try and pick up. She'd have the remote control, which she couldn't pick up, but she wanted on her table. And all these sorts of things. And she was just so frustrated and so upset, calling me names and, you know, being really unpleasant. And she was not an unpleasant lady. She was lovely, my mother, beautiful lady. But she was just very unpleasant to be with. And I came out of her room and I burst into tears. And said, Father, I want to learn what you're trying to teach me because this is a really unpleasant place. I need to learn something so that you can call her home. Please teach me fast. See, it's not always somebody else's fault. God may be just putting, he's waited for years to get you into this position so he can teach you something. But the question is, will we respond with an open heart? I hope so. Because I don't want to ever go through that circle again. It was horrible. I hope I learned what God was trying to teach me. And I hope as we respond to him that the fruit that he's trying to build in our lives, we will respond to him and allow him in so that he can do it. So, there we go. It's an amazing thing, this passage on the fruit of the Spirit. As we close, and as Vicky leads us, I think we've got another song, haven't we? And then I'm going to come up and say the blessing that I like to say at the end of a service. As we close, let's listen to this song or sing this song, whichever Vicky's asking us to do. But let's in our head be thinking, Holy Spirit, I want these fruit to be evident. I want your fruit, who you are, Spirit of Jesus. I want you to be evident in my life. That when people meet us in the street, they go, what is it about you? But in a good way. not what is it about him. Let's be people who respond to the Holy Spirit and allow him to be at work in us. This place has done that multiple times in my life. People here, and a lot of you here, have done that multiple times in Helen's life, my life, Becky's life, Laura's life, Johnny's life. And part of your inheritance as a congregation here is our family. You're part of our inheritance. When some of you, those of you who've been here for a while and know us, when we all get to heaven, you'll be the ones who are there. And Jesus is saying, you see them? See that family? You had a part in that. See they're walking with you? That's because of you. We pay account for how we behave. And God's calling us to respond to him, to be people to respond. So as we sing the song, let's be people of response, and then I'll come and pray a blessing at the end. Amen.
Lord and Father, we thank you for the words that Neil has spoken. We thank you for all your blessings and your kindness and your goodness. That you deserve the glory. Blessed be your name in all things. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name
when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Blessed be the
name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
All right, so we learned something in our kids' church today, and they've all decorated themselves a little cup.
We've been making light cups with colouring and lights and cups.
Very good.
And we've been drawing a picture of us. And I've been drawing my auntie, my mummy, and my uncle, and everybody.
We were talking about how we were making the light in the cup, and we were thinking about what God meant to be the light to us.
We'd be doing the words and doing the cups and colouring in.
Very good.
We've been doing different things, like different colours or different things. We did some rainbows, peoples or clocks or different type of things. You can make anything you want, and you can do anything.
Isn't that brilliant? You can do anything. And the light shining in the world, I mean, that's what we're here about, isn't it? I'm going to say a blessing over us, but what I'd like us to do in the way of responding to this is, as lovely as it is when you all receive the blessing and it all comes my way, focuses this way, it's no use if we stay here. Where does the blessing need to be? So what I'm going to ask us to do is symbolically, we're going to stand if you are able, we're going to turn around and face outside. So can you turn the opposite way round? And remember that behind you is the cross on the stage. And the Holy Spirit is with you. And he's preparing us for where we go next. I pray that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Holy Spirit. And that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith as you're being rooted and grounded in love. Now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all of us said, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hearts that burn with holy